This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Generation Fusion. I'm your host Andrew. Mum, get off of your phone.
Hey, I'm just recording the title of what episode we're up to. I'm doing my diary entry for our show.
What episode is it today? 266?
Week 206.
Wrong. I was 60 ahead, my bad. That's why I said week 206.
Yes.
It's not 266. That's a while away.
No, that's a wee while. But yes, week 206, episode 206. So if you've been here from the beginning, well done.
Why would you torture yourself like
that? So I believe that today we are going to be talking about you going off to see the comedian
Jimmy Carr.
Jimmy Carr. Who has been in Palmerston North
twice that I can remember.
He was here 3 years ago, if I recall.
No, it wasn't 3 years ago. It was like 2 years ago.
No, it was 3 years ago.
It was 3 years ago.
It was 3 years ago because I had a memory come up on my Facebook. That's how I know. So, yes, this time you and your uncle went to see Jimmy Carr.
Yes, I think I can't remember which was first, him or David Strassman, but I think he was the first comedian I ever went to watch.
Yes.
Rather him or David Strassman.
I think we went to, I'm trying to remember, because I missed out getting a booking to someone. So I decided we'd go to Strassman instead. It might have been... I can't remember, but I can't remember if it was Straussman first or Jimmy Carr.
I can't remember either.
No.
Either way, Jimmy Carr is the one I remember first.
Yes, so Jimmy Carr is a British-Irish comedian. I didn't recall him being Irish. I didn't realise that bit.
Oh, it makes sense. He's short and funny.
Yes, I knew he was British, but I didn't really realise he was British-Irish.
The English is short and scary.
And I'd forgotten that he's only 2 years younger than me.
Yeah.
I thought he was much younger. He's not, probably because he looks so much younger.
Probably because he got all that plastic surgery.
Yes, he does has had a bit of work done. I don't blame him. You know, his job is in front of people, and it adds to his comedy act. if people make fun of him,
people don't really care. It's when they can't take the joke.
Yes, and people he's a really... lot taller than I thought.
Yeah,
I always thought him as a short person, but he's not actually short.
How tall is he?
He's 1.83 meters.
I'm taller than him.
So he's taller than me.
Taller than him by a bit.
Yeah, well, you're taller than...
I'm 1.95.
You're 1.95 and I'm 1.75. So he's a bit taller than me.
Still quite short for a man.
Well, I don't know. So he came back to New Zealand again and I booked this time. I booked a year in advance.
Last time you didn't book the tickets, Cara did.
Yes, and I went on. That's right. I've suddenly remembered how Straussman came into it. I went on to book tickets to Jimmy Carr, and there were none left. And so I was like, "Oh my!" And you really wanted so, and I saw that David Straussman was coming later in the year. So I said, right, well, we've missed on Jimmy Carr, but I've got David Strassman. And you weren't terribly happy with that because you didn't really know David Strassman. He was just a puppeteer. And you certainly didn't know who his...
Teddy Bear was.
Teddy Bear was. And then I remember saying something to Cara, and she said, well, I've got two spare tickets. And so that's how I remember now. So, yes, And but this time I saw he was coming out, and I booked tickets a year ago for it. And I decided this time that I – because your uncle enjoys watching him
at the time he was only going to do one show.
He was only going to do one show. And I did manage to get we could get the tickets we – well, we couldn't really get the tickets we wanted, but we got them – positioned.
I was pretty happy with them.
They were good.
We picked the seats.
Yes, we picked the seats, but the whole front of the and I actually believe within probably a couple of hours of getting those tickets, almost all the tickets had been sold.
Yeah.
So we were lucky we did get them. And then he's gone on and he put three more shows on in Palms North. So
two in one night and then one on Sunday.
Yes. So I had been with you and your uncle enjoys Jimmy Carr as well. And I thought it would be nice for your uncle to go with you to see Jimmy Carr. And so the two of you went off to see him.
Yeah.
And so this is the second time you've been to see him. And what were your thoughts?
He didn't cover his taxes, but that's probably because it's hard to talk about tax evasion when you've packed the Regent.
Yeah. He's probably done that to death as well. Yeah.
Oh, you'd think he's done plastic surgery to death as well. But
no, well, yeah. Yeah.
No, he was funny. He did tell some of the same jokes that he told last time, but that's probably because he's in New Zealand. The jokes he told last time were New Zealand jokes. Like Christchurch, beautiful city that was destroyed by an earthquake and is beautiful again.
Yes.
Napier, city got destroyed by an earthquake, beautiful city. You know what Dunedin needs, whatever it was.
Yeah. An earthquake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he made fun of the fact that that had caused quite a bit of outright roar last time he came to New Zealand. So he really
it was quite a good joke.
Yeah, and he got a second airing with that joke.
People loved it this time.
And the fact that the joke was the outroar. So he said, I nearly got, banned from coming back into the country because of this joke. And then he proceeded to say the same joke again. So, and people loved it because this time they knew that it was a controversial joke and they enjoyed it.
I loved it last time.
Yeah.
Because it's true with most New Zealand cities.
Yes. I think you found it, and we talked about this, because
I found it funnier the first time, but that's because the first time I was an immature little boy.
And I also think Jimmy Carr works best with other comedians.
Or people heckling him.
Yeah, because he really springboards off other people. When he's not springboarding off other comedians and he's been a stand-up comedian, he is funny, but he's very much the one-liner.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed. I don't think I noticed it last time, but this time, because I follow comedians more closely now, I prefer comedians that jokes have stories behind them.
Yes.
So the run-up to the joke is a story.
Yes.
And the joke is just a payoff to the story.
Yes, and then quite often that one joke segues into another joke. So it's like being in a storytelling situation, whereas Jimmy Carr is very much one-liner after another.
Because it was like he would tell one joke, then immediately go on to a joke about a completely different topic.
Yes.
They didn't transition into each other.
Yeah, and that's just the different styles of different comedians. So it's quite – but I think, yes, you got to pick up on that because you've been to a few more different comedians now. We did go see Ursula.
She is a bit on the other far. They're both extremes.
Yes. And then we, as I said, we did see Straussman, who is, I think, a really good storyteller. But
his he's a ventriloquist, Mum. His whole job is based around telling stories
to himself.
Yeah,
And that I find that when you get a really good ventriloquist like that, you forget he never hid the fact that he was had a puppet on his hand.
Apart from that time he walked off stage and the puppet started talking.
Yes.
Which I know there's animatronics in it, but it's...
Exactly. But you're so caught up in his storytelling that he doesn't even have to hide the fact that he's been a ventriloquist.
Because you believe that that's a different character, especially when he has multiple.
Yes. And it's a bit like the comedians who are one person, but they tell a story and they're different characters. And they don't need to change or put anything on, but you can live the different characters because they don't need to do anything. So you've seen that. And you've also watched quite a few comedians, I know, online. You've got quite a collection that you watch now. In fact, you're going with your uncle on Tuesday to see another comedian I've never heard of.
He's not main. Well, he's mainstream, but he's not mainstream. His name's Friendly Geordies. He's a political satirist,
which I thought would be
journalist.
I thought the uncle would enjoy that because your uncle does like political satirists. How do you say that word? Satirist.
Satire. His house got firebombed because he uncovered corruption in New South Wales.
So that'll be interesting. So you're going to go and see a different style there.
He also proved that the pokies really are scamming you. That's another reason he got firebombed.
Yeah. But I still enjoy Jimmy Carr.
He also drove up to the gate of Pine Gap. You might not know what Pine Gap. Do you know what Pine Gap
is?
No,
I don't know Pine Gap.
It's an American surveillance base in the middle of the Australian outback. Drove right up to their gate with a group of friends. I'm
not surprised. So I was just reading here. I'm just looking at Jimmy Carr, and I thought I'd look up his controversies.
Yeah, tax evasion, plastic surgery.
Well, no, in 2011 he had an amputee joke when he joked about war injuries having a positive side effect. And the Prime Minister's office condemned his joke. The newspapers and radio stations phoned the mothers of soldiers maimed in battle, recited the joke, and then reported their outrage. Basically, what he said was that the positive outside of having servicemen amputees is that you're going to have a really good Paralympics team in 2012.
What's controversial about that?
Well, it kind of backfired in the fact that the newspaper and radio stations then went on to ring up the families of amputees. And
oh, that's where it goes a bit far.
It goes a bit far. His well-known one around the 2012 tax avoidance.
Yeah.
And I always think that's really funny because his tax avoidance is actually – he can make fun of it because it's actually low-key, almost a mistake because he was part of a scheme.
It doesn't make it sound any better, Mum.
I know. But at the time when he realised what was happening, he got out of it. He didn't realise that so much at the time that what it was doing. But it made a massive controversy.
One thing that he did that I'm not saying is bad, but it's kind of like the comedian equivalent of saying it's just a joke.
Yes.
Is he then did a speech about awareness of what's it called when your husband beats you?
Domestic abuse.
Domestic abuse, that's it. No, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that it's like you make a joke about domestic violence and then do the joke equivalent of it was just a joke.
I know. I didn't realise he did this one. This is a pretty horrific one. In 2021, he did a Holocaust joke in his Christmas special. and I'll share that one with you because I don't think it's appropriate to talk about. But it was basically around He says there was an educational value to it because it was a raising awareness about groups who'd suffered genocide in the Holocaust. But he was condemned by all sorts of people.
That one feels justified.
And the Holocaust Memorial Day Trust said they were absolutely appalled and horrified as they described his joke as abhorrent. But
he probably had a great kick out of it.
Well, despite the criticism, he stood by his joke.
That is one thing to him that, you know, you can't just make a joke and then be like, it was just a joke. You should stand by it.
Yes. Now, this one's not a joke. But it was in 2025, and there was an Israeli event at the British Museum, which he attended, celebrating Israel's Independence Day. And it was held during the Israel-Gaza war and was criticised by the pro-Palestine activist who urged a boycott of it. So I guess the controversy in that was that at that time, anybody who supported either side.
What's with the past tense? Anything in the past 5 years has been during the Gaza-Palestine.
I know. So it's just, you know. But, so he's highly entertaining. I thoroughly enjoy listening to him.
And it's great. People that I knew were there, like my school's principal.
Yes, your school principal. And
the lawnmower man.
The lawnmower man and Cara and your family. And he's well attended by many people.
He packed the entire region, not just the first story, but the second story as well.
I admit that when you go to listen to Jimmy Carr, you go for a bit of entertainment. It is funny.
He builds heckling into the show.
He does. You sent in 2 text messages, which he never responded to, which was disappointing, but obviously not enough for him to respond.
Why? I commented about his tax evasion.
Well, he...
I'll read you the 2 jokes that I said. They're not that bad, so...
We're not going to get taken off the air for them?
No, you're not. The first joke I said is, you obviously didn't save much not paying taxes. That explains why you're in Palmy.
Mm-hmm.
And you finally made it. John Cleese's rock bottom.
So, yeah, obviously they weren't part of what he was going to put in the program. But, hey, that's better than last time where you didn't send anything in.
No.
Yeah. So
I was thinking about heckling him. That's next time, though.
Oh.
Next time I'll do that.
Good on you. I won't be coming.
I'll just take Uncle again.
I find things like that incredibly cringy.
It didn't help that this time people that heckled him were drunk, so even though they were sitting right beside us, you couldn't understand what they were saying.
Yes, your uncle said there were a lot of drunk people there.
Yeah.
A bit disappointing. But
made Jimmy Carr's day, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So... if you were going to list the comedians we've seen Ursula, we've seen
David Strassman,
we've seen Jimmy Carr. We did go and see those stand-up comedians, didn't we? Did you come with me for
the ones that did the class on it?
Yeah.
That Cara did?
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, we won't put them into the connection because that's comparing.
I think we'll rank the shows.
Rank the shows, yep. What would be your top comedian so far?
David Strassman.
Yeah, I have to say that was absolutely brilliant.
Number 2, funnily enough, would actually be those comedians that took that class on comedy.
Oh, yes.
Because quite a few of them were hilarious.
Yes. And they weren't all of the – some of them were, but there were sprinkled amongst them actual New Zealand comedians. So it was a mixture of new to the form and experienced ones.
Yeah. And then it's Jimmy Carr.
Yep.
At the bottom is Ursula Carlson.
Yeah, she got a bit a little uncomfortable with her in a couple of places. She got very close at times to not being funny. I guess she'd call them jokes, but they weren't. They were reactions, weren't they?
She was poking it with a stick.
Yeah.
She just kept poking the roadkill with a stick.
Exactly. It got to the point you're like, you just move on because this is not funny.
Like, I thought when the show started, one thing was that her jokes were designed to make men uncomfortable.
Yes.
But by the end of the show, it was making everyone uncomfortable.
They're very much so, yeah, exactly. And Jimmy Carr doesn't hold off and say that he's there to make everybody feel uncomfortable.
What? Because Jimmy Carr doesn't target a specific gender.
No, or group. He targets everybody equally.
Whereas Ursula Carlson's entire set was about being a gay woman.
Yes, and I must admit, I ended up kind of feeling sorry for anybody who was a male and anybody who was a female. Actually, anybody who was alive.
just in general, not our show, just in general, throughout the entire past 3 billion years.
Yeah, it was like, oh, yeah. So, but it's interesting going along and seeing them, and it'll be interesting.
She wasn't bad. She was funny. It just went a bit far for my liking.
Yes. I think that was the thing, is there's things that you laugh at because they're touching on things that you know are some of the taboo subjects, or good people don't talk about that stuff.
And then you're laughing because it's legitimately uncomfortable.
Yes, and sometimes comedians, and I think Jimmy Carr is quite good at this. He will drive his car in, but then he'll reverse out and leave and move on to the next thing. So you're thinking, what did he just say? But he's moved on to the next thing, which is probably a strategy of his.
One thing he did that I guess he could do, because he tells multiple jokes and not stories, is near the end of the show, he didn't even have to tell the punchline.
Yeah.
Because you could work it out for yourself.
Yes.
And that was almost just as funny.
Yes, because you knew where it was going. But he does touch upon some subjects which are, you know, like Ursula was, which were sort of some of those taboo things. But whereas she went in and made sure you knew what she was going on about.
She made sure you felt uncomfortable.
Yes.
I feel like that's her thing.
Yes, I that's very much her. Whereas Jimmy Carr stops because he then lets you finish digging the hole for him. You know, and so I think
it's suggestion.
It's suggestion. And whereas David Strassman was just hilarious.
He wasn't. Well, I mean, he's a comedian that does ventriloquism, so I'm not going to say he's not inappropriate, but he's not.
He lets Teddy Bear. They are highly inappropriate. His puppets are inappropriate.
But he takes, even though it's only one person on stage, he can do the classic thing of you have a straight man and a funny man.
Yes, and it's
and
his
he's
puppet.
The straight man.
He is, and you don't hold that against him too, because it's his puppets and they've been inappropriate. And
which is funny to think there's only one guy.
Exactly,
on stage.
And you realise that he's the one saying the stuff, but
you
can
don't
feel
because he does it so well.
Yeah, and you can feel his embarrassment and his, and you're like, why is he embarrassed? Because he's just said those things. He's the one in full control here.
Well, that's because, like, at least what I found when I did ventriloquism, because, you know, I can do ventriloquism.
Yes, you're very good at it too.
Is that you do have to pretend that the puppet is a separate person.
Yes. And the funny bit is playing the straight guy and the one who's
funny
not
guy.
The funny guy. And having the puppeteer being the straight guy adds to the element, because when you think about it, that straight guy is in control of the funny one, and he's the one making that one act that way and being horrified by what it's saying, which is a pure act because he had to think of it in the first place.
Yeah.
So he knew that he was going to say that, and then he reacted to him say, and it's, you know, I think that's quite delightful.
One thing I don't understand about Jimmy Carr is at the end of all his shows, he gets out a list of jokes he's testing.
Yes.
But even the funny ones are never as funny as the actual jokes. So I don't know if they're actual jokes he's testing or just doing it to fill time.
Well, I wonder, yes, because, you know, when you get to the end of a bracket, have you got 10 minutes that you need to fill because you've gone too fast, or and how many of those jokes do you do? Is it 5 because you've only got 5 to fill, or is it 10 because you've got 10 to fill? Or, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you enjoyed this episode, maybe next time I'll, in 3 years, I'll go see Jimmy Carr again.
Well, yeah, and I'm thinking because you're going to go and see
Friendly Geordies.
Friendly Geordie. I'll be interested to hear about that because it's not a comedian I've heard of.
His name's Jordan, so that's...
I did wonder if he came from Geordie. You know, the how they call the English Geordies. The Geordies.
No, he's Australian.
He's Australian. Yeah, when you see his... But now he's... Yeah, makes sense.
Yes. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, then... go tell Jimmy Carr you want us to interview him.
Yeah, that'd be great. Hey, if you want Jimmy Carr to come on our show.
And Usla Carlson.
You know, put something on our Facebook page and we'll see what see what we can do.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine how he would love that. A teenager doing a radio show with his mum interviewing Jimmy Carr.
We probably have to do it after 9 o'clock at night, though. Yeah. We wouldn't be allowed in our 3 p.m. slot.
No, it'd be Uncle Tex all over again.
But he was allowed because of the fact that he had a disability, which meant
no, we had to do him late at night, and the show was aired at night.
Oh, I can't
because he swore, Mum.
Yeah.
You can't say swear words on this, Mum.
Swear words?
Swear words.
Can't say swear words.
Well, anyway, if you enjoyed this episode, you can go to listen to others on Spotify. You can search up Generation Fusion. Or you can go to npr.nz/show/fusion. Also, if you'd like to get some behind-the-scenes content, you can go to facebook.com and search up Generation Fusion. Or you can go to Instagram and search up Generation Fusion. Or you could Google us, because that works too. You can also go to givealittle.co.nz/org/npr and donate as little or as much as you feel like. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next time. Bye.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.